now we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our heart as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit,
change our hearts as we stand on your word.
Holy Spirit, rain down. Oh, let's sing it again, church. Holy Spirit,
rain down. Rain down.
Oh, comforter and friend. How we need your
be heard.
Oh, yes.
Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word.
Holy Spirit, rain down.
Rain down.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Oh, isn't it good to be in the house of God tonight? Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise if you love Him. With all your heart. Praise the Lord. I believe we've come to have church tonight, don't you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Turn around and shake somebody's hand. Greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church on Saturday night. Brother, play some more of that if you will. Sing that one more time. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Oh, comforter and friend, how we need your touch again. Amen. What better place to stand than on the holy word of God? Praise the Lord. Just so good to be in the house of God. We had a wonderful time here Wednesday night, didn't we? Do you appreciate the word of the Lord? Camp meeting gets better every service, don't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glad you're here tonight. Brother Jason Watkins here tonight from Beaufort, South Carolina. I know he's excited to be here. I believe he's going to give us something tonight from the Lord. And we just want to enjoy this service. This is our time to get to be together. This is our few minutes of fellowship in one with the other, giving praise to the Lord, thanking Him for what He's done. He's been good to every one of you this week. Has He been good to you this week? Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Praise the Lord. We'll let you be seated while we look at our prayer requests tonight. Brother Jim Maxwell, I want you to get ready tonight, if you would, to come lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight on behalf of the prayer request. Is Brother Jim here? He is. Yeah, I thought I saw him. Yeah, he's here. Brother Samuel Shuffler has an unspoken prayer request tonight. He'd just like for the church to remember and some things that he needs to take care of, and just pray that the Lord would give him guidance and strength to do that. So we just commit that to the Lord. Brother Joel Moyer from Ohio called to request continued prayer for his family. They have a court hearing on Tuesday, and his wife is recovering from recent surgery. So we want to just commit that request unto the Lord. Brother Sam Clark says, please pray for a friend of mine that is dying with cancer. His name is Robert. Also an unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit those things unto the Lord tonight. I want to pray for Phyllis Roberson, who has cancer. Let's remember that need tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Steve's wife and daughter and granddaughter. They all have cancer, and Lou Little also has cancer. So there's no name attached to this note, but we just commit these needs unto the Lord and ask God to be mindful of their situations. There's a lady by the name of Sharon. I'm not going to even attempt to pronounce the last name, from Durban, South Africa. Said that after we had prayer, her husband dropped the court case. Now lets her see her son, and she is praising the Lord. So somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord for that tonight. I want to remember Sister Janet Kennedy in prayer. She had a CT scan yesterday. They have found some problems with her liver. We'll be having more tests done, so they're asking that we would remember that prayer request on her behalf. And then this testimony tonight, Sister Hannah Linichek, says this is a praise report. For many years, I have been bothered with rheumatoid arthritis in my hands. I've been thanking the Lord for my healing for a while. It had gone away for a while, but I started a new job, which required me to use my hands a lot. I've been having trouble again, and my hands really hurt me early in the morning, which made it ache so much that I could not sleep. A couple of services ago, I was thanking the Lord for my healing and have not had one bit of trouble with my hands since. I want to praise the Lord. So thank God for that tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord is certainly mindful of our situations, isn't He? I believe that tonight with all of my heart. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. We'll just commit these things unto the Lord. As we stand tonight, Brother Jim, if you'd just come, let's join our brother in prayer as he leads us to the Lord. Certainly appreciate the Maxwell family, don't we? A wonderful, wonderful addition to our assembly here. Brother Jim, we love you, buddy. God bless you. Appreciate you, buddy.
Just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, this is a highlight of my week, Lord, be able to come to the house of God. Lord, to look around and see the world and the condition that it's in, Lord, and people looking for peace, looking for this, looking for that, seem like they have no foundation or anything to stand upon, Lord, but here we are standing on the Word of God, the truth in this great hour, Lord, that we live in, Lord. Lord, we don't want to take that for granted, Lord. We're just so thankful and so grateful. We're thankful for this opportunity, Lord, that we have to be able to come to your house, Lord, to be able to worship you, Lord, and to be able to hear the words of one of your vindicated servants, Lord, what you've laid upon his heart, Lord, for us here tonight, Lord. I believe it's just been ordained just for this night. You knew who would be here, Lord. You knew what the burden that you placed upon Brother Jason's heart, Lord. I pray, Lord, he'll just be able to deliver it to us, Lord. Father, we pray. And, Lord, I pray you'll bless every portion of this service tonight, Lord, especially the preaching of the Word of God, Lord. As we take these requests, Lord, Lord, we know that you're not a respecter of persons. But, Lord, there's one thing that you do honor and respect, and that is faith in your Word, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that you'll just grant faith to these people. that they'll be able to just simply take you at your word, Father. Lord, we just commit the service into your hands once again, Lord. Just give us what we have need of tonight, Lord. We'll give you the praise for it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jim. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here with us tonight in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have all of you here. All those that would be streaming this service tonight, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight. Brother Harry does a wonderful job leading us in the verses. We'll join in and help him on the verses and the chorus. But this song says, I held on. Aren't you glad there's something inside of you that makes you want to hold on? Not looking to give up, not looking to quit. We're looking to hold on even tighter, right? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's sing you with all of our heart tonight.
You ask me how it is that I'm still standing. You wonder how I made it through this storm. I can't boast of any special power.
No, sir. No, sir.
There's no secret. I just held on.
And I held.
Tell the things are finally happening. I've got blessings I can call my own. Many times I wondered if I would make it, but while I was wondering, I just kept on.
Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad something's holding you? Praise the Lord. Give Him a good hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. Hallelujah. How many times in our lives have we wondered if we was going to make it? But something kept that tie post tied to us. Brother Harry, sing that verse one more time, if you would, the second verse. Let's sing it with all of our heart. Think about it as you sing it.
I can tell that things are finally happening. I've got blessings I can call my very own. Many times I wondered if I would make it. But while I was wondering, my seed just kept holding on. And I held on till the storm was over. I don't claim to be a hero. I don't have all the answers. But I held on. Because I'm good, not because I'm great, not because I'm strong, but I held on.
Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing a little song tonight. It's an old song, but it's a good song. I never shall forget the day. Don't know what service it was. Don't even know what was being preached. But I know I got a touch from heaven. Sitting in this assembly. How about you? Did you get eternal life? You got it a long time ago, but I'm going to tell you something brought it a brand new to you, didn't it? Praise. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's sing it. I never shall forget the day. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It makes me happy, glad and free. I sing and shout it, He's everything to me. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul roll away. It made me happy, glad and free. I sing and shout it, He's everything to me. Within, down on my knees in agony, I cried to Jesus and He gladly set me free. My feeble steps, He comes to guide. Hallelujah. When trials come, well, He comforts me. Through Him, oh sin, I know I have the victory. Well, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul roll away. He made me happy, glad and sinner, come to Jesus now, and at His dear feet, just humbly bow, confess to Him your every sin. He'll save and cleanse you, give you joy and peace within. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul roll away. Shout it, for He's everything to me. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul roll away. Happy, glad and free, I'll sing and shout it, for He's everything to me. Brother Brandon, go ahead and get ready. Amen. Brother Harry, I want you to sing that third verse one more time. Oh, sinner, come to Jesus now. Amen. At His feet, all you got to do is humbly bow. Amen. Say it, Brother Harry.
Oh, sinner, come to Jesus now. And at His dear feet, just humbly bow. Confess to Him your every sin.
Oh,
His saving cleanse to give you peace and joy within.
I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul roll away. It made me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout it. He's everything to me. Of my soul roll away. It made me happy, glad and free. I sing and shout it. He's everything to me.
Give Him a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Brother Caleb Atkins, if you come onto the platform, get ready to sing after Brother Brandon. God bless you. You can be seated.
Pray for me. I'm going to try a new one here. I want to dedicate this to Brother Ken and the hope that I know I'm going to see him again. What can take a dying man and raise him up to life again? What can heal a wounded soul? What can make us white as snow? What can fill the emptiness? What can mend our brokenness? Our brokenness. Mighty, awesome, wonderful is the Holy Cross, where the Lamb laid down His life to lift us from the fall. Mighty is the power of the cross. What restores our faith in God? What reveals the Father's love? What can lead a wayward home? What can melt a heart of stone? What can free the guilty ones? What can save and overcome? And overcome. Mighty, awesome, wonderful is the Holy Cross, where the Lamb laid down His life to lift us from the fall. Mighty is the power of the cross. It's a miracle to me. It's still a mystery. It's a miracle to me. The power of God to those who believe. Mighty, awesome, wonderful is the Holy Cross, where the Lamb laid down His life to lift us from the fall. Mighty is the power of, mighty is the power of the cross. So many years I've heard it told, the story of compassion, a prodigal son who left the fold and found no satisfaction. On my knees, Lord, I cry out to you. I'm so alone. But if there's room in your house for one more, I'm ready to come back home. I know there is a place where arms of compassion welcome me home. Sweet mercy falls like rain. I know there's a place called grace. So many days I've trusted grace, and yet I have to wonder how many times my human strength has kept me from surrender. The more I learn just to lean on the cross, the more I see when I fall, I will fall to a place where mercy reaches me. I'm glad it reached for me. I know there is a place where arms of compassion welcome me home. Sweet mercy falls like rain. I know there's a place called grace. If it seems that my courage is strong, there's just one reason. He's the rock when my faith is all gone, for he holds me in his arms and gives me strength to carry on. I know there is a place where arms of compassion welcome me home. Sweet mercy falls like rain. I know there's a place. I know there's a place called grace.
Aren't we all glad we know about that place? Amen. Thank God for His mercy and grace. I'm glad when I talk about grace. Grace to me is not something that allows me to do wrong. Grace is not something that turns a blind eye. But it's grace that redeemed me from sin. And I studied this morning early, and I was looking at the older brother, Lord willing, for next week, and finding things that Brother Branham said like this, that when you are quickened by the Holy Ghost, that it actually brings this mortal body subject to the Word. It ain't just, oh, I'm struggling. You need to be quickened. It's amazing to me that when a person really gets quickened from the soul, it has such a powerful effect upon their body. It will actually bring their body. Now, I don't mean it likes it. It don't mean that your body's perfect. Your body's not born again. But it actually will make your body subject to the Word. Amen. Praise God. We're going to have a peaceable family before we leave this world. Sure as there's a God in heaven. The older brother and the younger brother's going to get along under the auspices of the headship of the Father. Amen. God bless you. Well, the good preacher has arrived that I've been telling you all was going to come. So you sort of want to listen to this old flat spare tar. So let's just open our hearts tonight to just see what the Lord will speak to us. And we want to pull on the gift of God. Amen. Just see what the Lord has for us. Remember, be lifting a special offering in the morning for Brother Pinkett, our sister Phillips, for the loss of their home and all of their possessions and all that. We want to just pray that God will just bless our brother and sister and help them, not only with money, but to help them during the loss of things. You know, pictures and things that you had, you can never replace them. You can go to Walmart and buy you another dress and go to Stein Mart and buy you a pair of shoes, but how can you replace some things that's sentimental to each of our hearts? So we want to just pray for them that the Lord will help them. Let's just sing together. Oh, my, I'm excited to be in church tonight.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Who knows? We all may leave here drunk tonight. We may not be able to even just be staggering out of here under the power of God after a while. There may not be a feeble one among us when church is over. There may not be a lost one among us. There may not be nobody without the Holy Ghost. Oh, why not rather believe that than believe, well, I don't know if it's going to be very good or not. I'd rather come with expectation. I'd rather come believing God can do above and beyond what we can even expect. Amen. You believe that with all your heart? Amen. So much of it, I believe, is determined by our faith and what we expect God to do. We should ask Him for great things. Don't ask Him for little bitty old tiny things. It ain't like God's got you on an allowance. You only allowed 32 miracles in your life and only 64 healings and only 128 deliverances of peace and all that. It's unlimited. You need more? Ask for more. You need more joy? Here it is. Ask for it. Praise the Lord, saints. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's just, I like that song we were singing a while ago, I Never Shall Forget the Day. Let's just sing it again, shall we? My. I thank God for that day. I can't say exactly when it was that seed germ was born. But I do know, you know, I got a pretty good idea whenever I started my journey anyway. Actually, the more I think about the new birth, it might have been whenever I started asking my mama that day, how do you ever get saved? It might have been closer than it was actually when I went to the altar that night and they started beating me on the back, because then I almost went comatose, you know, just been beaten, whipped so much. But you may not be able to trace it back exact when the seed life in you was quickened either. But more than likely, you remember at least a day or an hour or a speaker that was speaking, or revival or something, when God began to deal with you. I never shall forget that day. Praise God. Let's sing it together. We'll invite Brother Jason to come. Amen. Sing it together. Harry, you're doing an awful good job. I'll go. I hate to mess it up for you.
I never shall.
Let's sing it together.
Forget the day when all the burdens of my soul rolled away.
Oh, yes, they were.
It made me happy, glad, and free. I sing and shout for His everything to me.
Oh, glory. I never shall
forget the day when all the burdens of my soul rolled away.
Sing and shout it for
He's
everything. Praise the Lord. Brother Michael, he'll be using Louis's mic tonight, I forgot to tell you. This is a real good speaker right here. He's a real good preacher. And we're expecting exceptional, supernatural, beyond what we normally hear. Just super above, beyond, abundant. Wonderful, fantastic, out of this world stuff tonight.
Amen.
And if we don't, we're going to be disappointed tonight. So, I mean, you just. It don't seem like to me that it's been that long ago that preachers was calling me son. I'm so proud to be identified with men of God of this day. Amen. God bless you. Let's open our hearts tonight. Let's give Brother Jason a warm welcome.
God bless you. Well, it's good to be in God's house. Good to be here again and haven't seen some of you in quite a while. But better late than never, hey? So, amen. I'm so looking forward to a time where time won't mean anything. And distance will be relative and time will be relative. You know, it doesn't matter if I started, you know, from here to walk to the back door, it'd take me so many seconds. But if I started from here to walk home, it'd take a lot more. Just because distance is time when you're walking. But imagine in a world where whether you're 5 feet away or 5 light years away, it's all right now. And I can travel 5 light years as fast as I can travel 5 feet.
Amen.
Amen. So I tell you, it's not yet entered the heart of man what God has in store for him. So we greet you in the name of the Lord tonight, and we're going to invite you right to the book of John, John's Gospel. Amen. I'm going to keep it. Brother Donnie's skinny. I'm more like you. I need to keep it. Yeah, okay. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want to look here this evening in St. John chapter 20. I'm just going on with Brother Louis. He's skinny too in his theophany. And that's all that counts. Amen. But I might come out of this jacket here in a little bit. We'll see. Amen. Praise God. I want to speak to you this evening on some thinking that I carried at home on a world in transition. And I believe that that's the reality we're facing. That everything, and I mean to say everything, is transitioning. It's there's nothing that's static. It's all in motion. It's moving. It's going forward. The world plunging downward. The bride ascending upward. And it's unstoppable. Unstoppable. And the world cannot reverse their decline, and we cannot reverse our ascension.
Amen.
Because God is doing it. And so I'm just looking for what the Lord has this evening. I covered a lot of ground at home so far, and I'm still actually working on it at home. So I'm not going to try to cover everything I've covered at home, but I just want to come to some parts that were on my heart tonight, and maybe even a few parts that I haven't covered at home yet. That be okay?
Yeah.
Praise God. So we want to look at John chapter 20, and I'll just read a couple of verses because I want to read down through 17 of them, but I won't keep you standing for all of it. But let's begin at verse 1. The first day of the week, this is John 20 and verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, and unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloths lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their home. Let's pray. Precious Lord Jesus, I stand here tonight, Lord, just a trembling man. And Father, we stand before a great purchase, the purchase of the Lord Jesus Christ, such a precious commodity of heaven stands here in this building tonight. Lord, it's everything that you have longed for is this bride. It's everything that you've, every movement you've made, it's all been to accomplish it, Lord. The prophet tells us that in all the Bible, it's such a staggering statement. Lord, were it not coming from Elijah, I could scarcely comprehend it nor believe it. But he would say that the entire Bible was, God had one goal and one purpose in all the Bible and all the lives of all the people, and everything that's in it was all to illustrate. Everything was to demonstrate. Everything was to move toward this one goal. And the prophet begins to open up the Word of God, and we begin to see, Lord, that this great goal that you had was expression, that you had a desire for expression, and everything that you would do would be towards that end. And everything that happened, and many things happened in the lives of people that they didn't understand it, but you always understood it, Lord. And Master, things that looked up and down to you, nothing was out of cater, nothing was out of time. In our lives, many times it looks all wrong, but Lord, to you it just looks perfect. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord, you'll give us that same anointing that's on the Word, oh God. Let us see ourselves in it, Lord. Let us see our position, our placing in the Father's vision of our lives. Lord, grant it, Master. I commit myself to you. I'm just a man and just your servant. All I can do is stand here, Lord, and I dismiss the audience. I dismiss myself. My eyes are on you and you alone, Lord. What is it you have to say to us tonight, my King? Oh, we humble ourselves before you now, Lord. Come to your word, Father. Break the bread of life to us, Lord. Move our hearts, oh God. Let faith rise in this building, Lord. For it's a perplexing age and a trying hour. Come to try men's souls, Lord. And it's a dark time and so many questions, Lord. Bring comfort by your word tonight. Bring clear vision by your word tonight, Lord. Open up the eyes of the blind. Grant it, Lord. Let us see our purpose in you, Lord. There's nothing that gives us more courage than that. If I can just see that I have a purpose in your plan. And oh God, knowing that you're in control means everything. I commit it to you tonight now, Lord, as I feel your nearness. I'm just stepping aside now, Father. And we commit it all to you now in Jesus Christ's name. In that lovely name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, friends. You can be seated. I'd like to continue reading from my text from verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she went, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not whence they have laid him. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. You know, in this life of transition that we are referring to, we realize, there's so much on my heart and my mind I want to say between tonight and tomorrow, but I won't weary you, so just give me your undivided attention for a little space, and we'll push a pause button and pick it up in the morning. But, you know, whenever prophecy goes forth, there's no way to stop that. Because it's God's immutable word. It can't be reversed. It can't be amended. It can't be repealed. It can't be overruled. God can't change his mind. There's nothing society can do to prevent it. You know, I've said sometimes that how that very oftentimes you find the kind of thinking among, you know, sometimes people with well intention, and they maybe in the nominal Christian world or even in the independent, and the whole idea has always been, well, you know, if we could just get the gospel to all the world, then we could turn this thing around, and, you know, we could save the world by the gospel. But the gospel never came to save the world, because Jesus, who sent the disciples with the gospel, told them, if you go read Matthew 24, if you read all the other corresponding cross-referencing scriptures, Jesus begins to tell about the world coming to an end. He begins to tell about the distressing time and how that it's going to be destroyed, and there'll be wars and rumors of wars, and a fig tree will put forth its bud, and great things and signs and wonders will happen, and you know, so many signs of doom, and so this has to come to pass. So the gospel going forth was never sent to reverse Jesus' prophecy. It wasn't sent to save the world. This world is passing away. By design. By design. It's all part of God's plan of redemption. What a plan. And so we realize that you say, well, then what's the purpose of the gospel? The purpose of the gospel was to save God's family out of the world, so that they would not perish with the world, but would find their place and fulfill their destiny in time, so that they could then be recalled back to a place where there is no time. Hallelujah. And I can tell you, friends, all down through the ages of history, from the time of Abel in the Garden of Eden all the way to the time that we are here in this hour, you know, God has been accomplishing that very plan, and you have not arrived at the end time. You have arrived at the end of the end time.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you tonight, it's done. I've given this analogy at my own church numerous times and in various places around the world. It's like a fireman running into a house, then the house is completely engulfed in flames, fully engaged. There's no way to stop it. They've already determined we can't save it. They're just trying to get everybody out. And you've got some old person who they just were born in that house. They've lived in that house. And they're sitting there in their rocking chair and they're holding on for dear life. I'm not leaving. This is my house. And the fireman, he just runs in. Sir, ma'am, you can't stay here. The house is burning down. You can't stay here. And I'm here to tell you something, friends. I feel like a rescue tonight. I want to say to you, the world is burning down. You can't stay here. You can't stay here. Forget it. I don't care what you've invested in it. It's burning down. When time meets prophecy, there's no way to stop it. And, you know, life goes on and the Bible talks about how that, you know, in the days of Noah, how that, you know, the world was just going on in their sin and going on in debauchery and marrying, giving in marriage and marriage and doing this and doing that. And commerce was rolling and craft was moving. And the Bible says, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And so we realize that time runs along and prophecy just runs along because Brother Branham talks about how it goes out into circles. It's just waiting for its time. And when the time is right and prophecy and time intersect and it brings forth God's word. When Jesus even died on the cross, there were so many prophecies. I forget I think Brother Branham gave it a certain amount of estimate, but the lion's share of all the prophecy concerning him were fulfilled in just the last hours of his life. Under his third pull ministry. And I tell you something, friends, we certainly have no more argument or debate about it. We are full blown in the third pull. It's happening all around you as you sit in this building. We're not waiting for that revival to come. That revival is among us now. Not waiting for some Superman to arrive or some anointing to come or some new revelation to break. That which will take us in a body change is here. You're feeding on it now. And the anointing is dropping all over the world. And it's the same anointing that's corrupting the world is perfecting you. Because remember how that We find that Brother Branham showed us how that in light is life. And John talks about that as Jesus. He was the light of men. And he was the life of men. Because in light is life. And therefore, friends, the more light that comes on the word, the more life it's producing in us. It's bringing forth the life that's in the germ of wheat that's inside of you. But make no mistake about it, that same light is also, when light comes and it brings forth its light, it grows and matures all the seeds. Not just the wheat. It matures the weeds. It matures the bad seed. It matures it all. I'm here to tell you, friends, don't fret. Don't worry. People jumping out, running away, disgracing themselves, calling all kinds of evil over this message. And we get all distressed. We get all, say, all these defectors, all these unbelievers. You're causing it. You're causing it. Don't get all flustered. It's your fault. Because there was a time when they could sit comfortably among us, but the light has gotten so bright and the maturity of the light is moving to such a level they were no longer comfortable. They couldn't hide anymore. It was exposing them. I know the world is falling apart, but I'm here to tell you that same light is gripping me, and I know it's gripping you, and it's bringing this bride rapidly to her perfection. Thank you. Amen. It happens like that. It's impossible to stop it from happening. the regression just in our own nation. After the end of 1956 and 57, and Brother Branham warns them, said that it'll be your last year. This will be the last time mercy will be offered to this country. And they spurned it for the last time. And from that time of 1957, you see a sharp regression. And I'm not here to fill your mind with statistics tonight, not going there at all. But we can certainly see, especially, my own parents. Sometimes I sit down with my dad and he can just relate, what it was like, from a fresh memory of 1957. And he's watched the decline. So shocking. Even my memory at my age, I can remember what it was like when I was in school, when I walked my neighborhoods. I can remember what it was like moving, through town. And today it is so much worse than it ever was then. And it is an unstoppable regression, unavoidable. Optimism for America is fine. I'm not opposed to you being an optimist. I am an optimist. But it's just sad because you think what could have been. And, I think it was one of our presidents, I think perhaps Reagan back in the 80s, talked about this country as a, shining light, as a beacon, and how the world, looked to us in the way that they did. And it's a shame what it's become. But it's prophetic. It is prophetic. Do you believe that? And so when we begin to look and we begin to say, all right, here's life. Now, we have to ask ourselves the question. I think it's a fair question that a preacher should ask of you tonight. And I don't need you to fill out a survey or answer me from the audience, but I want you to answer it within your own heart. When we say life, the question comes, what does life mean to you? See? Because what the world thinks of when they think of life and what the Word thinks of and speaks of when it speaks of life are two vastly different things. What does life mean to you? A lot of times you'd ask somebody and say, what does life mean to you? And life is, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. And I want to get all I can and I'll take half of yours if you're not watching. And I want to accomplish this and I want to accomplish that. And when I'm done with that, I want to accomplish this and I want to accomplish that. And I'd like to add in this and add in that. And then if I could have this, that, and the other, then I tell you, boy, I'd just be living. And yet Jesus, so contrary, so contrary to human sensibility was Jesus. And he looks out over people and he says, if you seek to save your life, you lose it. And the only way you can keep it is if you give it up. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is life? Sometimes I like to probe young people. What is it about life? What are you looking for? Are you planning to invest your time and your effort and give it over to this burning down world around us? Oh, I'm here to tell you, friends, I just say tonight, forsake the thing and turn to God and give the Holy Ghost control of your whole life. You'll never regret it. I promise you, you'll never regret it. The only regret you have is not doing it. And you get down the road and wish you'd have done it. And you'll do it and wish you'd have done it so much sooner. Amen. You can answer that question. You say, well, life means this, life means that. But I wonder really sometimes, what would life mean to you if you tonight could just take yourself vicariously, in your mind's eye and just see tonight, if I could say to you, what would life mean to you if you were waiting in the judgment line? Because the Bible speaks about people who will be standing there to be judged. I'm thanking God I don't count myself as part of them. I'm thanking God that I plan to be on the throne having been already judged. Jesus, the Bible tells us some men's sins go before them, some men's sins follow them. Oh, please let your sins go before you in Christ so they can already be judged and dealt with. And when you get there, you're already free. Oh, hallelujah. Whatever you do, don't arrive there and have sins bumping in behind you. And now you got to stand there and give an account for them. What a terrible hour.
Amen.
What would it mean? What would it mean? What would life mean to you? What would life mean to you if you found yourself up on some Saturday and like it is today, and you know, you get up and suddenly you try to call a few people who you're used to calling, and suddenly you can't find them. You can't reach them. And these are godly people, and maybe godly parents, and maybe a godly pastor, godly deacons, or godly friends. But you know, you just went on with life. You never were too serious. You didn't mind coming to church. But as far as really giving Christ the lordship of your life, you make a few more calls and still can't get any luck. Well, I'm going to definitely call somebody I know that I can definitely get them. You run to their house. They're not there. They're nowhere to be found. You try to suppress the panic.
Yeah.
You wait through the day nervously. Oh, I'll tell you something. You might have been one of those kind who maybe usually come into church, you know, about halfway through the song service, or maybe wait till after Brother Louie's done. I'll tell you something. You'll roll up in the churchyard real early on that day. You'll run up and you'll jump out and you'll run up those steps and maybe grab a door and rattle that door and peer in, and lights should be going and there's nobody there. And I'll tell you something, when you slink down by one of those posts and you stoop down on those steps, what will life mean to you then? What will all of your pursuits when you sit there and the unimaginable finality, and you begin to think about all the times that Brother Donnie bent over double preaching his heart out, weeping and crying and pleading, what will life mean then? You know, God's not here to entertain us. The Word doesn't come for that reason. Brother Branham talks about in this age that we are moving from, and it's such a line of demarcation between the Pentecostal age and the time of the bride, as Brother Branham would refer to it as the bride's time. Bride age, you may have heard him refer to it. See, kind of equally, he goes back and forth. But it's a unique hour that we live in. A time unparalleled in history. A time that God was waiting for so long and working toward this hour. And here you are alive. Here you are, a participant in the last closing scenes of human history. I'm here to tell you, friends, the rapture's coming in your lifetime. And I believe it's very soon. I believe it's right on the edge. I think the things that we are seeing happening in the world today, they're not an accident. And the accelerated speed of which such a small agenda has taken over the country like a tidal wave.
That is true.
Everything, you know, everything's just a falsehood. Everything's just a upside down and inside out, and it's all based on such lies and deceit. Men running around saying they're women, but they're not. Women saying they're men, but they're not. You got a black lady, a white lady saying she's black, but she's not. Republicans saying they're conservatives, but they're not. You know, is that okay? Socialists saying they're Democrats, but they're not. People saying they're Christians, but they're not. People saying, men and women saying they're preachers, but they're not. They say we have the true word, but they don't. Our church is the true church, but it's not. God only has ever had one provided way. He's only ever had one word. He's only ever had one church. He's only ever had one temple. It's not in Salt Lake. It's not in Rome. It's not in this building. You are the temple. You always have been the temple. That's always been His goal, to impersonate Himself in humanity. I'll tell you something, friends. You're in an hour of falsehood, but there is a bright, shining truth that's here among us tonight. And you are so privileged. If you only realize how privileged that we are to be able to take a hold of this precious truth. What a moment. What a time in history that we live in. And Brother Branham talks one of the unique things, how I was speaking about in the ministers' meeting today, how that he brings these gifts now. And he's talking about now it's beyond speaking in tongues. It's beyond the shouting. It's beyond all of these things. He's bringing us gifts right here at the end time. And I'm not going to get bogged down in just reading the quotes, although I have them. But he references how that these gifts are here, and they're the gifts at the end time, because they're here as you're getting ready to go to a marriage supper. You know, I'll tell you something, friends, when you go to a wedding party, when there's a marriage taking place and you're going to go and there's going to be gifts handed out, it's not like a birthday party. It's not like your birthday. It's not like an anniversary where, you know, the husband says, what would you like? Or your birthday, and your dad says, honey, what would you like? It's not about that. At birthday parties, you get what you want. You get what you ask for. But at a wedding party, you get what you need. And the gift now reflects the transition you're about to make, because you're not going to be like you were. You're about to be something different. And he begins to pour out upon this church today, representing what we're about to be, what I'm about to be. Hallelujah, friends. That's why he's not here to give us a tingle. He's not here to give us a sensation. He's here to give you perfect faith. He's here to give you a perfect word, a perfect God, keeping a perfect promise to bring you to perfection. Such an amazing time that we find ourselves in. You know, you find that parents and spouses and pastors very often ask the same questions. Where were you at? Who were you with? What were you doing? Why were you there? I find that parents, spouses, and pastors are famous for that. But the answers to these questions help serve, they serve to identify the real heart of the person. Because your actions speak louder than your words. And where you go and what you're doing and the things you're involved with, you can say anything. James says in 2:18, yea, a man may say thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So now we begin to think about this question, when God comes to Job, and he begins to just ask him a question. Job is so perplexed. Job is just so tore up. Cannot make heads or tails. Cannot make sense of his life. Nothing. It seems like Job is doing everything right and everything is turning out wrong. Ever had that happen? Until, you know, he just gets down and he begins to just fill up the air with such dark, weighty sayings. And cursed be the day that they said a man-child was born. And cursed be this one and cursed be that one. And when the moon shined. And my, would that I'd never known. And all these different things. And, you know, here comes one and supposed to be a comforter. He's pretty miserable. The other one's miserable. The other one's miserable. And, you know, his wife is miserable. And everything is just going in the wrong direction for poor old Job. But you know, when God comes on the scene, finally, when God's just had enough of it, and how that he comes down, because God had a purpose in it all. Amen. Actually, Brother Branham deals with the purpose, how that really
everything that Job, Brother Branham, in a paraphrase, says, if Job could have just realized, see, when God gets ready to do something, he wants man's involvement. He always does. That's his way. He's always wanting expression. Remember how Brother Branham said, you know, he said, they said, pick up a rock, throw it up in the air and say, thus saith the Lord. He said, because that rock goes up and it disturbs the atmosphere. And as it goes up and it comes back down, it creates a little vortex and up and away she goes. You know, here's a prophet has to cast meal in. Here's one has to do another thing. And so you find that God has a purpose in everything that we do. God wants you to be involved in His Word. And so now here comes God. He's ready now to bring a great truth. He wants to put an understanding in the earth about a Redeemer. That you know, man's just not, he's not just on his own here. That somebody's pulling the strings. Somebody's in control of all this world. And God has a desire. And Brother Branham makes a reference to that all that Job, finally he gets down to the point where he says, oh, you know, I see the flower and it lives and then it dies and then it lives again, and the grass and the trees and it dies and it lives again, and the grass goes down but it comes back. But if a man die, shall he live again? And Brother Branham said, now God had the question. He needed somebody to ask the question. If a man die, can he live again? And that's now when God's ready to move. Job didn't realize he was just saying the right word. You might not realize you're saying the right word, but your whole life is plugged into a purpose of God. An eternal purpose that God has. Don't ever lose sight of that tonight. Your life is plugged in and has a purpose in God. And now God comes down because he wants to put the revelation of the Redeemer in the earth. And he comes down, stand up, Job. I'm going to talk to you like a man. Where were you? Think about it, Job. Where were you? Oh, he goes down this long list. Oh, when the morning stars sang together, the sons of God shouted for joy. Where were you when I laid the foundations? Where were you when I fastened the borders? Where were you at, Job? God wasn't, I tell my church, God wasn't being a smart aleck. He wasn't trying to rub it in and make Job feel bad. He's trying to break Job's spiritual amnesia loose for a moment. Trying to say, you know, who is this, Job? Who is this that filleth up the air with dark sayings and dark counsel without understanding? Where were you? Listen, Job, think for a second. Do you think you just started here? Do you think your life is just about this? Do you really think that I'm limited like that? That I would put you here and have blessed you and then took it all away? And you think this is all a bad karma or some accident? Don't you realize that there was a time, Job, because the Bible says that the works were finished before the foundation of the world. Don't you realize we already had a conference and you already agreed to come here and you already agreed to endure it. You already agreed to manifest my name. What are you doing? Oh, mealy mouth. What are you doing? Filling up the air with that counsel. This thing's already been decided, Job. You didn't start here. You're not finishing here. You got a much greater purpose than that.
Yes, sir. That's right. Good. Well said.
There's such perplexity of time, such as the world has never known. And the approach of it is certainly having more effect and effect than people perhaps imagine. You know, I just say, friends, that this is really no time for diplomacy. This is not a, I can tell you, you should just be disinterested in a diplomatic pastor who will worry about your feelings. This is not a time for diplomacy. This is not a time for worrying about feelings. This is a time to tell it to you straight. This is a time to identify the age that you're living in and identify your problems to you and identify the answer for you. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yes, that's true.
There is such an anointing upon our age that, listen, you know, I know it's a fearful time, and the Bible calls it that.
Right.
And perplexity and seas and waves roaring. and these kinds of things that are coming upon mankind. But I'm here to tell you that we have an anointing that is upon us, friends. There is a protection for our mind, our body, and our soul by the Word of God. I want you to take courage tonight that there is an anointing. There is a protection. There is a hovering spirit that is over this bride. And if the devil is lying to you, trying to say he can keep you sick, he can keep you ill, he can run you insane, he can make you leave the message, he can do nothing of the kind. All you got to do is just put your trust and your confidence in the word of the hour, because it's prophesied, already finished, that this bride is coming to her position. His abiding presence is among us. It's in us and it's filling us. Perhaps you feel that you've been a Christian for many years. Now, I want you to really pay close attention, because this is the most anointed I may be during this entire sermon. And I didn't expect to say what I'm about to say. I figured I'd say this at my own church, and I haven't. Perhaps you feel that you have been a Christian for many years, that you've been moving steadily along in your life, accomplishing all the plans that you made for yourself. You tell yourself that all is good, and if it really isn't all that good, you tell yourself it's good enough and you're happy. But somehow, deep in your heart, you know that something deep inside is missing. You find your Christian walk constantly frustrated with besetting sin and spiritual weakness. The desires of the world eat at you from the inside. It seems that the promise Jesus gave about His yoke being easy and His burden being light to you is anything but. Of course, friends, we all have to keep our guard up, don't we? We all fight against the wiles and the temptations of the enemy. Of course, all of God's, none of us would argue that, all of God's redeemed family have things that we have to repent of for daily. Sure, of course. But somehow you know that maybe your battle's more than that. And don't look at me. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I know it's somebody. Somehow you know your battle is more than that. And although many see you as a great overcomer, you know the deep burning you feel for the things of the world and sinful pleasures. Where is the real power of God in my life that was promised me? If I'd repent and be baptized in water, calling on the name of the Lord. You're a believer. You know you believe it with all your heart. But you're floundering and flailing in the water, unable to find your position in God's adoptive placing for your life. Maybe Satan has some of you here tonight so frustrated and ready to give up for the last time. Ready to sink beneath the waves of sin and forget it. It's not what you wanted. You love the Word. You've rejoiced under the power. You've rejoiced under the anointing. And you sit here tonight and you so respect it. You so respect it. You know you believe it. You know it's in your heart. And you have such respect, even as you feel yourself going down for the last time. You could actually see yourself, as I sink beneath the waves, I'll raise my hand one last time and say, Lord, I'm sorry I couldn't do it, but You're the truth. Your word is the truth, and I know it was the truth.
Say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I just can't get there. I wanted to. I tried hard. I'm so sorry. But I'm going to be lost. Well, I've got a message from Jesus for you tonight. No, you're not. You're not going to be lost. And you're not going to quit. And you're not going to die. And He's not leaving here without you. I'm here to tell you tonight, friends. You're not going to quit. You're not going to die. And He's not leaving here without you. I'm here to tell you tonight. You're not going to quit. You're not going to die. And He's not leaving here without you. Hallelujah. And I know that to be the truth. He's not going to lose one of His children. Hallelujah. I'm not sure we realize just how overwhelming God's determination is to accomplish His vision in our life. I'm not sure we realize that His love is so great that you're not going to ever be able to sink past His reach. Sink, go ahead, but He'll find you. Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you, if you've got faith in God tonight and you have claimed a precious loved one, you attach that faith to them and say, no matter how far they sink, I will not let go. His hand reaches further down than mine can. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you something, friends. We're living in an age of full restoration. When God has brought such a liberty upon the world, and Jesus made all this possible. Jesus said, you know, it's just so blessed my heart when you go back and you look at the words of the Lord, and He begins to claim how that, you know, they're in my Father's hand, and all that the Father's given me will come, and I lose nothing. See? And you got to realize that he's not limiting that to people, because everybody thinks it's just people. But it's not just people. He says, I lose nothing. Amen. Not just the people, but everything of the people that was ever lost is given back. Amen. Everything that you were ever supposed to be. This is the age of restoration. When He opened those seals, He didn't just release doctrine. He released the nature of Christ. He released the faith and the love and the kindness. He released the joy. He released the tenacity. He released the ability and those seals back upon the people. And I'm here to tell you, I don't care what Satan has taken from you. You are living in the age where Jesus Christ is giving it back. He's restoring families. He's restoring minds. He's restoring youth. He's restoring churches. He loses nothing. I don't care how the devil polluted you. I don't care what you lost. Satan has taken from you. Christ gives it back tonight. All your purity. Hallelujah. Everything that I was to ever be, I am becoming. Oh, and I want to tell you something, friends. I'm just like you. I got a lot of regrets. I should have accomplished this. I should have accomplished that. I wish I wouldn't have did that. I wish I wouldn't have done that. I'm here to tell you, and you just have to take the Bible's word for it. None of that matters. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Jesus Christ is still going to win. You're still going home. You're still a part of His family. And this is an hour where the bride must accept that and say, I am part of this thing. It's not just, I'm not persuaded. It's not my, didn't convince me. It's not mental. I got an alien living inside me. I got God living inside me. This message isn't something I believe. This message is what I've become. I am the message.
was sharing today at the minister's meeting. When you go into the Old Testament and you read whatever, in whichever book, the word of the Lord came to Haggai, the word of the Lord came to Micaiah, the word of the Lord came to this one, came to that one. From the Hebrew, it's not exactly like, and I don't want to break a whole lesson down, but it's not like thinking something from far, far away traveled a great distance and arrived to me. It's not exactly that connotation. That's just a very shallow humanistic way to look at it. But actually, when the word of the Lord came unto Haggai, when the word of the Lord came unto Amos, when the word of the Lord came unto this one, it literally means that the word happened. The word happened to Amos. The word happened to Micaiah. The word happened to Haggai. The word happened to me. The word happened to you. I am a happening. I'm not just got a belief. I'm a happening. Say, why are you a believer? The message happened to me. How am I going to walk away from me? It is me. I am it. She is him. Hallelujah. The world is ending. But I want you to know that He's not leaving you behind. He's not leaving one of His children behind for Satan's filthy hands. Amen. Lo, I come to do Thy will, O God, was the motto in every scene and circumstance of his life. And in none more so than his work on the cross of Calvary. Let the will of God be what it might. He came to do it. You're talking about a determination. I want you to understand who your confidence is in tonight. You're talking about somebody who so conquered for you, was so utterly and absolutely victorious that there's no possibility of an indictment ever sticking against you or me. Do you realize how unindictable you are? You realize how unaccusable, how unchargeable you are. That's what Paul said. It's not, he said, who's going to bring this at me? It wasn't I that died. It's Christ that died. Wait, don't look into me. Like as if I saved me. It's Christ that died. Died for me, died for you. If they got a charge, go talk to him. He's the one who was found. He's the one who took my place. It was his delight. It was a delight to him to accomplish the will of God on earth. And interestingly, you see, no one had ever really done this. Some had, through grace, done, as the Bible says, that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But no one had ever so perfectly kept every single word. He had invariably, from first to last, without hesitation and without divergence of any kind, done the will of God always. He was obedient unto death, as Paul said in Philippians 2:8, even the death of the cross. The Bible uses language like he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Upon his arrest, he walked straight from the Garden of Gethsemane to be put on trial for his life before the Sanhedrin council. Found guilty on law, lies and false witness, he was bound over to the judgment seat of Rome in Pilate's hall. And there, with his life being deliberated, Jesus, unwilling to defend himself before his fallen creation, he was led away to Calvary's hill. His path would be called in Latin Via Dolorosa, the way of grief, the way of sorrows, the way of suffering, or simply in Arabic, the painful way. From the lashing and bludgeoning of the Roman soldiers and pouring blood all along the path, the intense devotion of his heart manifested, friends,
and such an unwavering determination to finish the work of God that God had given him to do. "Don't go," he heard. "Let us save you," was the cry. To which he replied, "The cup which my Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink it?" In this self-empty devotion, total devotion to God, I want to tell you, friends, right there, now that's a sweet-smelling savor to God. A whole burnt offering. A complete, complete sacrifice of everything. A perfect man on earth accomplishing the perfect will of God. This is the one who stands in your place tonight. This is the one who's trying to get you to understand. You know, when we talk about countermeasures to spiritual warfare, and Brother Branham makes reference to, you know, seeing the enemy and his tactics. And, you know, it's like the spirit of perversion. And I was in a meeting here some time ago, not too long ago, actually fairly recent. And a young man came up and he was struggling with that perversion spirit. And, you know, I just felt led to not just, you know, pray a quick prayer and pass him off. But I just wanted to try to enlighten him to say, "Look, son, you have to understand this is a prevalent spirit. You need to get this in your mind that the world is not just, you know, merry-go-rounds and parks and Disney World and Dollywood. The streets are filled with demons. The air is filled with demonic power. Demonic power is in the libraries. It's in the schoolhouse. It's in Walmart. It's on the streets. It's at the traffic light. It's across the way. It's in the government halls. It's in the courtrooms. It's in the pulpits. It's in the homes. It's in the recreation. Demon powers are streaming all through the earth. We live in an age that is eaten up with it. And you need to wake up and have a reality check and say, "I'm not just whistling through life." No, the world is overran by evil power, but there is also a great anointing that is shining down upon God's family, and Satan cannot begin his full ride as long as I'm here. Amen. And if I'm here, then I got a reason to be here. Amen. And if I got a reason to be here, I want to make sure I'm accomplishing that reason. Amen. If we could realize the predominant, the prevalent tactic and anointing on the age that Satan has fostered and chopped away at. And you know, Brother Branham, it's so amazed them how he would, you know, it sounds so sexist today and so politically incorrect. Brother Branham actually was back there half century ago, and he was even pointing to further back than he was. And he was saying, "The advent of homosexuality among men was because of the fall of women." See? And today, you know, you'd almost, if you said that, my goodness, you're talking about a statement going viral, you'd be the outcast of the whole world to say a thing like that. First of all, they'd want to know, "What's your problem with homosexuality?" As if there's something to blame on the women. As if there's a problem. That's the kind of world that we live in. And how that they begin to cross themselves over to masculinity and vulgarity, and they begin to sour the heart of men towards them. And then here comes Satan in the end time now, his Laodicean orchestra, you know, that is just playing their tune to the whole world and spewing, as Brother Branham called, his poisonous spray. Oh, in every facet of life that we encounter. It's everywhere. You ought to thank God for our cleansing place. You ought to thank God we can come in here and get washed by the water of the Word. You ought to thank God that you got a Bible that you understand. Blessed are your eyes, for they see.
Oh my, I was speaking to a dear sister, so dear to us, and just suffering the devil plaguing her with arthritis and hurting and everywhere in her arms and her joints and could hardly move around, and it was all flared up, and the devil just about had her gone. And I just looked at her, I said, sister, your arms may be hurting and your legs are hurting and your back is hurting, but blessed are your eyes for they see, and blessed are your ears for they hear. For many wanted to see it and many wanted to hear it, and they see it and they hear it, but they don't see it and they can't hear it, but you see it and hear it and know it and believe it. I want to tell you something, friends. I've seen a smile come back. I've seen faith begin to rise. I've seen a determination. You wait till that old devil comes back next time to plague her with that kind of a pain. Oh, hallelujah. I think we are to catch Job's revelation. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know this life is bad and I might be having it hard. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. I'm going home very soon. I won't have these kinds of problems anymore. Hallelujah. He's invaded everything, every media outlet, every facet, everywhere we can get information, all overran by the power of the enemy. Oh my, his symphony that he's composed, and he's reached a crescendo to conquer the sons of God right here at the finish line. He actually believes he's going to be successful. You know, he managed to hold everybody in the Old Testament for centuries. Thought he had them whipped. And only lost at the finish line. He had him. He had him. He only lost at the finish line. Last runner across beat him. Hallelujah. See, that's why he fights still. He imagines he's going to win. He imagines that all he's got to do is stop that last name on the Lamb's Book of Life. If he can just prevent one, God's word falls. But I'm here to tell you, he ain't never stopped one, and he ain't stopping any, and the last name is found. He ain't going to stop that. Hallelujah! There's no way to stop it. They come from God. They're going back to God. If he can defile that last one left, that last name on the Lamb's Book of Life, trying to defile that last one. So you get this question, you know, where were you, he says. Who are you? Because, you know, where did you come from? You know, Jesus takes up this discourse with the Pharisees, and it goes right to that. Because he's working on their origin. Because in every case, you find that your origin indicates best who you are. See? So if your origin is a male, have whatever surgery you want. That's what you still are. Amen. Your origin identifies what you are. And Jesus now, he gets in this discourse with the Pharisees, and you know, he goes back and forth, and they, you know, they said, well, we're Abraham's children. And you find that Jesus, you know, made it so clear. He agreed that they had a mortal lineage with Abraham. Sure, he agreed that they had a mortal lineage with Abraham, but that only meant that they had all of his failures. They were identified with all of his failures and none of his redemption. That's all that meant. When they were identifying with Abraham naturally, that just meant they had all of his failures. But when Jesus starts talking about Abraham, he starts talking about somebody of faith, somebody who always believed. And he said, you're not acting like Abraham did. See, he wasn't reading Abraham's life from the lineage of the mortal book. He was reading Abraham's record in the book of life. And Abraham's record in the book of life had no failure, had no sin, had no unbelief. It was perfectly a son of God. And he's identifying them by their works, what their origin was. You're of your father, the devil. Oh, I'll tell you something, friends. I am so disinterested. I couldn't be more disinterested in identifying myself with this world. This world has no part of me. I have one goal. I want to be like Jesus and say, Satan cometh and findeth nothing in me. What if we could say that in this building tonight? Satan cometh, but he findeth nothing in me. I have no care of this world. I have no joy here. My joy comes in the morning. My only purpose is to preach the gospel and find as many of God's family as I can. There's nothing of Abraham's human weakness that Jesus found to describe. Nothing of his failures were cited. You see, in God's record of Abraham, sin didn't exist. So it's not recorded. You don't make a record of what doesn't exist. See? So God needed Job to understand who he was. So he asked him to think about where he was before he was. Think back now. Think back. You didn't start here, Job. This all you're all tore up over this. This isn't about this. This life's not about this life. Let me tell you something, friends. This life is not about this life. This life is about the next one. If you could just capture that in your mind and let go of Laodicea and stop chasing a burning city. And just say, my life here is just a proving grounds for my life there. Sure. You know, Brother Branham, when he tries to bring some way of understanding. You know, when Brother Branham went beyond the curtain of time, it changed him irreversibly. He even says that I could never be the same Brother Bill. It done something to him. You know, John had said in 1 John 3, he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Amen. I want you to absorb that for a moment. Now we are. Now I'm going to tie these two together, but watch now. Now we are. When Brother Branham goes beyond the curtain of time, he has no trouble at all, Brother Donnie, describing what he saw. He described it in detail. He described, I was laying there with my hands back. My wall opened up and it went up and grass and it went up a hill. And I began to look. I looked back and there was my body. And I mean, he has no problem. He said, and then coming over the top of the hill, beautiful women, beautiful men, most beautiful women and men I'd ever seen. And their eyes sparkled and their teeth were white and their hair was, skin was gleaming. And he just begins to describe and they all surrounded me and they lifted me up on a place and they were talking and they were saying this. He had no problem describing what he heard. And they were screaming. He said, oh, they were screaming. Oh, our precious brother, our precious brother. And here's one woman. And somebody starts talking to him and says, "You, that woman that you were admiring, you thought she was so beautiful. Yes. He said, well, she was past 90 when you led her to the Lord. And here's his wife. And she's saying, oh, our precious brother. So he had no trouble describing what he saw. He had no trouble describing what he heard. But what he could not put language to was how he felt. And he tried to say, I couldn't say, perfection wouldn't touch it. Sublime. He said, I don't have the vocabulary. There's not enough language. I can't. He said, you just arrived, that's all. Try, Brother Branham, try. Well, there was no yesterday. There was no tomorrow. It was just all right now. It just, you know, and he's trying, he's struggling. And so now when Brother Branham relates his story, you know, beyond the curtain of time, eternity just takes on a whole new meaning. Because everything in that realm is right now. Now that's hard. We can't get that. You blow fuses. But yeah, to him, everything is right now. There's no past. There's no future. It's all right now. See? Then now, all you got to do is just think about now. That's what makes even prophecy possible. See, because John, watch, John was caught up into heaven in the fourth chapter to be shown things which must be hereafter. Not might be, not we're going to try to pull it off. Things which must be hereafter. See? Because from the perspective of God, it's all finished before the foundation of the world. Amen. Brother Branham said to God, it's all a great drama. And he's long ago, it's all finished up with God long time ago. This whole thing is just playing out God's purpose, friend. I'll tell you something, if you can really get your mind around that, you'll never let the devil bluff you again. And how, this is even how election and predestination are possible. You know, and that Jesus could even say, blessed are your eyes, for they see. And he's saying it to men who really hadn't even hardly got to really see yet. You know, and look, you say, well, but they could see. But what could they see? Okay, we read our text. Here he is. They run to the tomb. He's not there. And then suddenly a man shows up, and here's Mary, and she doesn't even know it's him. And she's looking right at him. And all the disciples running all over the place. And then finally, when there's a recognition, and she says, go and tell my disciples to meet me in Galilee. And then you read, here's his disciples on the road headed to Emmaus. You know, it's like nobody is believing the word. And so things that they should be seeing, they're not seeing. And Jesus, even when he steps out right on the trail, starts walking along, you know, and they didn't even know who he was. What is this sad conversation? What's all this heavy saying? Are you a stranger? Are you a stranger? He was a stranger, all right. You don't know the things that have taken place? What things? You know, now he wasn't feigning ignorance. It's like if you said to me, you'd say, well, the devil has sure got me in a fix. And I'd say, well, so what? And you would say, well, yeah, but let me tell you what it is. And you'd give me this big, long story. You know, I'd still say at the end, well, so what? It doesn't matter. God's still in control. God's still in control. So what things? Because it wasn't going to matter what they would say. It would still mean what things? Well, of this and that and this and that. Well, like I said, what things? What is that? What is that anyway? What? This world's falling down. So what? I'm getting out. The whole world's covered in sins. So what? Not me. Hallelujah. The devil's running to and fro. So what? My God lives inside me. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That's why Jesus would say, be anxious for nothing. Your Father knows what you need. If you ask anything in my name, don't doubt it. You'll have it. See? So he could say, blessed are your eyes, almost prophetically. See, because to him it's all right now. And so now you find that, you know, John goes to heaven. He's caught up. He's going to see things hereafter. He ends up there in the book of Revelation. He's all weeping and crying. He's all boo-hoo and sad. Nobody can open the book. It looks like the word's going to fail. Looks like too many things are wrong. Looks like I'm out of time. And you know, suddenly, you know, people get so mysterious. How to say, Brother Bram says, you heard from your theophany. What's so mysterious about that? Who do you think John heard from? Yeah, John, say, you heard from one of the elders. John was one of the elders. John was one of those 24 elders. John heard from his own theophany, and his own theophany said, stop crying. It's going to be all right, John. Stop crying. Don't worry. He's got it all in control. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. That's why when you hear you're from your theophany, you hear the word, it takes away worry. It stops the tears. Because you realize the prophecy cannot fail. It's going to be okay. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. No wonder we draw our strength from the Word of God. All of his concerns were answered by the Word of God. The Word knows who we are. The Word knows what to do. And you know, the Word knows that you can do it. The Word knows we are doing it. See? It's how predestination, it's how election's possible. It's why Jesus could, listen, Jesus in Matthew 16, he says to the disciples, who do men say I am? Well, some say Elias, some say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Okay, well now who do you say? And Peter says, thou art Christ, Son of the living God. Yeah.
immediately. Now watch, he doesn't have the Holy Ghost yet. He's not even converted, but he's got conversion material inside him. See, he's got the raw material. I'll promise you that. He's got something for an anointing to strike that's going to bring forth a life that's going to be unstoppable. And that representation knows enough to know that thou art the Son of God. And Jesus says, blessed art thou, Simon. I remember years ago, probably 20 years ago, I told you this here. And that Greek word is the word makari, from the root word makarios. And it's funny because I found this in the original Hebrew Greek Bible that I've used for years, and Zodiates wrote it years ago. He passed away and died, and they went in and edited out his comment about what I'm about to tell you, but it's too late because I already had his original copy. And that word makarios, and this is literally what Dr. Zodiates said that word means: possessing the characteristic of deity. So you see, Jesus wasn't just saying to Peter, you're pretty smart. Wow, you're pretty perceptive. You know who I am. No, that's not what he was saying at all when he said, blessed art thou. He was saying, Simon, you recognize me because you possess the characteristic of deity. You've got the same gene I got. We came the same father. That's how you recognize me. That's how I recognize you. I say, thou art Peter. And upon this kind of a revelation, two omnipotents meet. Upon that revelation, I'll build my entire church. And I'll hang all redemption on this. That's exactly why he could come to Peter later and say, when you're converted, feed my sheep. Not if, not maybe. I'll try to convert you. We'll see if this can happen. If it ever comes to pass, go feed my sheep. No, nothing doing. This is a gene of God. When you're converted, feed my sheep. So we find these things happening all through the Word of God. So you find where even Paul, he's caught up to the third heaven. He hears things and he comes back and he says, I heard things that aren't lawful to say. See, I heard things that aren't even lawful according to the law. You can't say this, the death penalty. Now there are lots of things in the law that you could do and get the death penalty, but not a whole lot you could say to get the death penalty. But one of the things that was sure as anything to get you killed is when you equated yourself with God. And that's why they even took up stones to stone Jesus. And Jesus said, hold on. You know, I've fed your poor. I've healed your sick. I've raised your dead. For which one of my good deeds are you going to kill me? They said, oh, not for any of your good deeds, but because you being a man make yourself God. See, so it's unlawful to say such a thing. Paul coming up there in that age and hearing things that aren't yet ready to be expressed. But in this hour, we find the full expression of the word breaking out upon us that she is him, that you are the blood of God by the Spirit, that he's the beginning of the creation of God, and you are the continuation of that same creation. And John is wondering, you know, John is wondering how we would appear in the end. And he didn't know. He didn't know how we'll be. He says, that's what he says in his scripture. He says, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And that's all that counts. Because how I appear is not how I actually am. How I actually am is from God's view. How I might appear might be completely different. I might not appear to be the spotless virgin bride of Jesus Christ. I might not appear to have perfect faith. But what I actually am is the Word of God made manifest. What you actually are may not be what you actually appear to be right now. But know this for sure, as he is appearing, you are being transformed into the very image of that God. I'll never get there. Yes, you will get there. You're already getting there tonight. You're closer than you think you are. Oh, I can't hardly preach it hard enough, friends. God is doing so much more than you're even aware of. He's not going to lose one.
So it's all finished in the mind of God a long time ago. So we find then that we come down to this last age. And, you know, he'd made a statement how he said in Ezekiel 36. I'll push the pause button with this right here. We'll pick it up in the morning. So in Ezekiel, boy, I love the book of Ezekiel. Wow, what a book. He says, a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. So his first law then was written in stone. But stone couldn't bring forth life. And so now, here 1600 years later, a new kind of heart begins to beat in a manger of hay. A whole brand new kind of human. A whole different kind of a person. A beginning of a creation of God. A prototype. The first of a new order. The first of a brand new kind of person. You understand? And so now this heart. So when that's why when he goes to Calvary. Now watch. And I don't want to just leave you hanging. I want to really solidly put this point down. So that heart that began, that brand new kind of heart, begins to beat in a manger of hay. That is the very same heart that was stopped on Calvary, proving he was a man. Proving that he was a man. And then that same exact heart started again under its own power, proving he was more than a man. See. All right, you with me? So now we think back about our text. And when Jesus, now Mary she's identified him, Rabboni. She turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. So now Jesus has described the Father. He did not say, watch this now. I've got to try to make this separation in your mind. Jesus did not say, our Father, our God. He said, my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Not our God, not our Father. See, because he and his disciples had a different relationship to the Father. Now watch what Brother Branham says here in Lean Not to Thine Own Understanding, January the 20th, 1965. So he says, we're looking in the book of Proverbs written by Solomon, one of the wisest men in the world outside of our Lord Jesus. Now watch, because you have such an error, and it's such a simple thing. I just stagger at the ignorance sometimes of ministers who come up with this concept of a two-Lord doctrine. And how in the world they can completely get that so flipped around. It's because they're not understanding the language of redemption in the Bible. And so now you're finding that they say, well, you know, he's just a man. And it's interesting that you should know that real thoroughbred two-Lord teaching, it doesn't necessarily teach that you know, there was two lords in heaven, but that the Jesus who created the world, according to Ephesians and John, was a different Jesus than walked the shores of Galilee. That one is the creator of the world and one is a man. And therefore that man in the millennium is just our brother. And we no longer worship him. We just simply go with him to worship the Father. So somehow we get a great giant promotion and he gets a big demotion. See? Which is utter nonsense. That's why Brother Branham said any doctrine that diminishes, the supremacy of Jesus Christ is a false doctrine. And all they have to do, if they would, oh my goodness, if you'd just open your eyes and look in the Scripture so clearly, because when you look in from the very beginning of God's concept under redemption, the whole thing of Father, Son, remember what is Brother Branham's main point? God's main goal is expression. And so the expression comes between husband, wife. It's always been husband, wife. So he becomes a son because he becomes an expression of God and takes the designation of son. But it's never about father, son. It's always about husband, bride. That's why Paul goes he says, I'm showing you a great mystery. It's Christ and his church. It's Christ and his bride. It's always been Christ and his bride. See? So as long as you can see it that way, anytime you're God is only God, and I say it like this: God is only ever in the Gospels. And I know there's a lot of humanistic language in the Gospels that looks like that Jesus has to be a separate person. It looks like it has to be sensibly. All right, but just remember that God uses that kind of language intentionally to blind the world by. He doesn't use it to confuse you by. You see, the only real kernel of it is, the only reason he's using that human language is that Jesus Christ is a blueprint. You understand? He's a roadmap for when it's your turn. Here he was. It was his turn. He was the head. And now it's in the body. And now it's your turn. And you're the continuation of that same creation. So it's never, don't just, when you hear father, son, just think husband, wife, you'll always keep it straight. Yes, it's all about expression. And so now watch what Brother Branham says. Lean not to your own understanding. He says, all right, Proverbs, Solomon, one of the wisest men in the world outside of our Lord Jesus. But he wasn't exactly like Solomon. Insomuch that Solomon was a man born of a woman and was begotten by an earthly father, David. But Jesus was a virgin born son and was not altogether a man, but he was God, the God-man. And he was more than a man. He was a man plus. So was he a man? Sure. But he wasn't merely a man. He was completely a man, but not merely a man. He was a man plus. He was the God-man. And that's why Jesus didn't say, our Father, our God, I'm going to my God and your God, not our God. Because his relationship to the Father was not exactly like yours. You understand? He was the God-man. He was more than Solomon. He was more than you and I. But yet he was a man. And yet he was God. Friends, do you realize why this is so wonderful? Because now you have a representation who's not only a man in that he's a faithful high priest, because he was a man. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He was a man. He knows what it's like to be tired. And that's true. He was a man. He knows what it's like to be afraid. He was a man. The Bible says he feared. He was a man who had a will. He was a man who faced every temptation like you and I. But I don't have a mere man who is my high priest. I've got a man who's the God-man. I don't just have someone who can intercede for me. I've got somebody who can do something about it. Who's not just feel sorry for me. Not just tell me, son, it's going to be all right. I'll keep forgiving your sin. I'll keep forgiving your sin. No, I've got more than a man who's going to remove my sin. Who's going to take all of that from me. Who's going to set me on high. And make me the conqueror that he knows that I'm to be. He was more than a man. You've not just got a faithful friend who understands you. You don't just have a faithful high priest who can sympathize and empathize and feel what you feel. That's true. But because he was the God-man, you've got a high priest who can do something about it. So that when I come to him, he's not just saying, oh, poor baby, it'll be okay. No, friends, he's got somebody who can come down into my life and come down into your life and disassemble the tyranny of the devil. Take apart the sin and the failures out of your life and out of my life and bring us to a restored image of his word. It's possible. He has that kind of power. All it takes from you and I tonight is a recognition. Say, I am in that family. That high priest is my redeemer. That high priest is my Genesis. That I am the continuation of that same man. And just as he arose to complete victory, so shall I arise to complete victory. Why don't we stand here tonight? Why don't we just accept that victory that is in Christ on our behalf? That realm, friends, where there is no yesterday and there is no tomorrow, where it's all right now, where God already sees that you're not going to be, but you now we are the sons of God. I don't know how I'm going to appear like all I need to be, but I already know that I already am now a son of God. And here's my confidence as he's appearing. By the time he is fully ready, I'll be fully ready. Do you believe that tonight? I believe that with all within me. And I want you to have a confidence tonight in the Word of God. That it has the ability, it has the power. Listen, friends, this world is disintegrating. It's disintegrating around us. And the Lord being my helper, we want to try to identify and lock ourselves into prophecy through time and through events and show you in the morning what all God has in play right now. And it's happening right around you. It's going on around. Sometimes we don't always see it, but it's in motion. I want you to know something tonight, friends. When you go home and you lay your head on your bed tonight, you just remember this. I can't speak to whatever might be your situation in life, but would you please close your eyes tonight with these last words and say, Lord, I just trust you. I just trust you. I heard in the Word of God tonight that it's already eternal. It's already in God's mind. I was in God's mind. That none of these failures, none of these victories, nothing the devil's ever conquered against me doesn't even matter at all, because I'm at the finish line now. Oh, I'm at the finish line now. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you, friends, it's homegoing time. I believe that with all that is within me. Amen. Why don't you bow your heads all over the building tonight and just play, Brother Harry, at your discretion. I just want to talk to you for a minute with your heads bowed. Listen, friends. God brings His Word with great purpose and with great intent. And I'm here to tell you that some of that stuff tonight, as I was writing it, and to that person who just feels like, Brother Jason, and maybe you might just be one human being in this building to say, I was that person who just feels like I'm going under for the last time. And I want to tell you something. The anguish that you feel, I believe God poured into my heart, and I could hardly keep from weeping for you and don't even know who you are. But I want you to know He knows and sent me here to tell you tonight, no, you're not going to die, and you're not going to lose, and you're not going to quit, and He's not leaving you.
I want you to anchor that down in your heart tonight. You're not going to quit. You're not going to lose. You're not going to die. He's not leaving here without you. Oh, let's just raise our hands to Him and say, Lord, You're not leaving without me tonight. I'm part of that eternal Word. I'm part of that eternal vision. It can't end without me. I'm part of it tonight. And I accept it tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. I accept this Word. I rejoice in this Word. I believe this Word. This Word has happened to me. And I refuse the devil's lie. Oh, Lord God, tonight I pray for this audience. Hands up all over the building, Lord. Father, we're believing Your Word tonight. I believe it for myself. I believe it for these people. Father God, You're doing a great thing in this hour. And I know the world is falling to pieces. But it's never been a more glorious time for the bride of Jesus Christ. She's right on the threshold of the greatest hour. Something You have waited on for decades and centuries and millennia is now upon us. That great hour, that great moment. We don't yet know, Lord, what these closing scenes are, what we might face, but it doesn't matter, Lord, because my anchor is sure. It's steadfast. It holds beyond the veil in Christ. I know my Redeemer liveth. And I know at the last day I'll stand up and I'll be looking right at Him. Not another, but I will. Me, I'll look Him right in the face. Oh, I see victory. I see nothing but victory. I see the devil's lie falling aside. I see the tyranny and the lies and deceit of the enemy falling from the people. Lord God, let Your truth shine into their hearts tonight. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Break every chain. Let's sing that, Brother Harry. I believe you sing that. Break every chain. Let's sing that. How many believe God does that for you? To break every chain. Every chain. And it doesn't matter what your chain is. He breaks it. It's already broken. Hallelujah. I love Him, friends. I love Him with all my heart. God bless you. It's so wonderful to be here. Let's sing and rejoice. How about it? Let's let God know what we believe that He's doing in this hour. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power.
Sing it together. Praise the Lord.
Break every chain. 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 There's an army rising up.
Jesus. chain, break every 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 chain. I can see those chains are falling.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. You imagine if Jesus would tell Simon that day, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, on one little revelation. Well, I say little. It was a great revelation. But as far as numerous revelations, he had one. If Jesus would tell him his part of deity off that one revelation, what would he say to you? And Peter never even had the Holy Ghost yet. But in seed form, everything that was going to be in Peter laid in him right then. And there was nothing going to stop it from happening. May I say the same with the bride of Christ around the world. Many of our brothers and sisters in China and in Asia and in Africa and in Europe, they face all different kinds of difficulties. But there is not a nation that will stop her from going up. I don't care what Obama says. I don't care what Trump says. I'm not listening for Trump. I'm listening for the trumpet. Praise the Lord. Hillary ain't my head. Jesus is my head. Praise the Lord. Oh, Brother Donnie, ain't you all tore up who's going to win? No, I ain't tore up about who's going to win. I'm more tore up about me getting out of this world. Amen. Glory to God. This is their hour, friends. This is the transgender's hour. This is the gay hour and the power of darkness. Let them have it, because before long we're going to come back and take over. And we're going to clean up all this mess. Glory. Hallelujah. The bride is going to come back in her place. And then it'll be set right. Hallelujah to God. Oh my, wasn't the word wonderful tonight? Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Remember now, scripturally, it's when Abraham stands there and said, will not the just one of the earth do justice and right? And he begins to intercede. If there's 50, if there's 40, if there's 30. God says, I'll spare it for 10. But it couldn't even find 10 to spare it. So the angels of God go on down to Sodom. And the scripture tells us what happened. And we know that it was great slime pits and bitumen, which is tar, T-A-R, or pitch. And then you've got the chloride from the Dead Sea. You've got these other chemicals. All it takes is a little bit of fire. So you've got all this asphalt and all this chloride and all these other chemicals that's around. And the fire comes and absolutely annihilates and destroys them. But what's amazing, this man up here with another covenant. It's after Sodom is coming into their judgment that he gets his body changed. Don't you see why our nation has to fall the way she is? Look at what's going to them. And they'll give some of these people that's weird as all get out, give a man a right to go in the you women's bathroom, usual bathroom. Sir, can you count a mace, sisters? And if they come out on you, give them a face full. Come on, you know these men eat up with lust. You know what they're going to do. They're going to hide behind that and go in there. But it ain't going to be long. You're going to get your body changed, Abraham said. Glory to God. Glory. Hallelujah. It seemed like things are happening so fast. It's just overwhelming. But you realize one day it's going to come to the last thing, and the Lord Jesus is going to say, no more. I will not allow her to live there another day. This is it. Glory. Glory. Praise the Lord. Oh my. God bless you. Well, the pause button has been pushed. We'll resume it again, Lord willing, in the morning. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jason. Appreciate the word. Amen. Hallelujah. I had a minister's meeting out at Brother Bill's church today, and we was down there. I got there a little bit before 10. Somebody arrived late. I won't say who it was, but somebody arrived late. But anyway, we were there till about 4 o'clock, I suppose. And he told me, so I've kind of changed my mind about that agreement, you see. He'd made with me. He said, you going to go to the minister's meeting with Brother Bill? I said, not unless you're preaching for me on Saturday and Sunday. I ain't. I said, when I preach, I study all day on Saturday, and, you know, I've just got to lay with it. Well, I will if you will. Wasn't that what you said? I will if you will. But then after I willed and he willed today, then he was kind of saying, I'm kind of tired. You know, I don't know if I can. I believe he's the Lord, don't you? Amen. Amen. I really do. I believe it was the Lord. Praise the Lord. So actually, he was tired tonight. So, I mean, y'all better come and ready in the morning. I mean, because he was actually tired. And he's not the young little whippersnapper. He wants to act like he is either. He's getting to be an older man, too. Watch him smile. Praise the Lord. God bless you, saints. Love you so much. Think of what we have to look forward to.
Amen.
At one time, there was only one man on the earth that faced what we're facing. He must have been a very peculiar, odd-thinking, odd-acting man. That he knew his walk would lead him into something that had never been before. Every day his walk was experiencing prophetically in numbers and geographical measures. This Enoch. The mystery of God is still wrapped up into the measurements of the pyramid. And all these great measurements, standing in the very center of the earth, the epicenter of Jerusalem. I mean, so many things that's there. It's just absolutely phenomenal. And before you go into the king's chamber, they have a chamber there to where you come down Enoch's room, where you have to go down and humble yourself and bow down before you approach into the throne. The entire mystery of God written right there in that. And you imagine you're the only one on the earth that understands it. How in the world did the guy keep from blowing up? Maybe he didn't know exactly what was laying in front of him, but God began to tell him. He said, get closer and farther. He'd get closer to God and farther out from where he's home every day. And this final day just comes and said, you know what? You're closer to my house than you are to yours. What do you say? He's just gone and made that. I said, I think I will. Hey, you know what? That's what we're waiting for. We're still too close to our home. But one day, Brother West, we're going to get closer to his home than we are to ours. And we'll say, I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this world. I've got a home that's so much better. I'm going to go there sooner or later. And I don't want to get adjusted to this world. Tomorrow might be the day where we actually cross that perimeter to where God says, y'all are closer to my house than you are to yours. Don't go on back. Just come on up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Every sermon is bringing us closer, friends. Every time a man of God feels inspired of the Lord and labors and studies and preaches, and you may think, oh, what did I get out of that service? Well, I mean, there's sometimes your body may not get that much, but Lord have mercy, if you could see your soul, it is saturated in the Word of God. Amen. So come with your cup empty tomorrow and turned up and ready to receive. God bless you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your great word. I thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you placed among us in the last day. I heard Brother Bram say it the other day. He said, if you would have laid out your program to him and said, I want you to preach, what age do you want to go live in? And he said, now living in the days of Jesus when he was here, he said, it had been a great time. He said, but to me, it's a better time now than it was then. It's the golden age. And yet it's the age of the most darkness. It's the age of the most sin. But it's the golden age. It's an age of parallels. I thank you, Lord, that we live in this day. Before long, we'll be changed. And we'll all get to come up to your house. May there not be a one of us, Father, that'll be missing. I pray that you refresh our brother. Strengthen his body, Lord. Give him a good night's rest tonight, Lord God. Bring us back in the morning and speak to us once again by your word. We thank you for your word tonight, Father. Go with us now, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
amen.
Amen. You can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Turn and shake somebody's hand. God bless you, brother and sister. Glad to see you in the house of God. Sing something for us, Harry, as we're dismissed. God bless you. Saints service again in the morning, 11. Appreciate each of you that are here with us tonight. Amen. Go in the fear of God. I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this world. I've got a home that's so much better. I'm gonna go there sooner or later. And I don't want to get adjusted to this world. To this world, to this world. I've got a home that's so much better. I'm gonna go there sooner or later. And I don't wanna get adjusted to this world.
World. I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this world. I'm so much better. I want to go there sooner or later. I don't want to get adjusted to this world. I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this world. I've got a home that's so much better. I want to go there sooner or later. I don't want to get adjusted to this world.